In my wallet, there are a considerable variety of loyalty cards. In fact, so many that I have to cull them every 6 months to make sure that they still have some relevance to my life. In my Wellington parish, I had a parishioner who was very high up and very well known department store there, and he had a saying which he often repeated, "Retail is detail," to which I used to retort, "Retail is also relationship." And that's why there are so many loyalty cards around. Because businesses understand that in order to live, thrive and survive, they've got to have a loyal customer base who keeps coming back again and again. And it's rather the same in churches too. For them to continue their life, there needs to be an inner core of people prepared to carry out the often unglamorous but very necessary work to sustain the life of churches. In the more wilder days of rock music, the glamour bands were often accompanied by young women called groupies who provided a variety of personal favours in return for being close to the charisma of these electrifying stage presences. They kind of wanted to be close to that source of power. Few relationships ever developed, I might add, permanent relationships, out of this kind of extraordinary entourage of camp followers. It would seem that Jesus also had his groupies who followed him. There were those who were drawn by the fact of provision, of miraculous provision of food and other miracles they saw. There were those who thought he might be a budding political messiah. And there were those who hung around with him because they were drawn also to signs of mastery over the forces of nature and miracles of healing. Now, these people take offence at his apparently cannibalistic talk about eating his flesh. This is the conclusion of the sixth chapter of John's Gospel that we've been working our way through Sunday by Sunday these last few weeks. And as he concludes this discourse, which is really at the heart of why we think the Eucharist is the essential meal, the essential sacred meal of our gathering Sunday by Sunday. And some people are shocked by this teaching. They take offence at it. And they're not prepared to think calmly and clearly and in a considered way about the challenging teaching they have received, and they just depart, they go away. So a crossroads has now been reached amongst the followers of Jesus. Those who are in it for what's in it for me religion have decided to go back to their former way of life. And they're disturbed at the persistent suggestions that the wonderful new kingdom that Jesus has been talking about apparently is going to be accompanied by the need for the acceptance of suffering as part of the ticket into the kingdom. And a lot will be required to follow in this way. Those who are following the way of Jesus are finding that his faith and his disciples and his disciples. The true disciples who matter now are the real ones who savingly trust, who are persistent, loyal, close friends and not groupies. They are discovering that this is a loving relationship that requires covenant faithfulness in season and out of season, in the good times and in the bad times, to bear fruit. And most of us listening to this question this morning, a question that Jesus puts to each one of us, do you also wish to go away, can honestly answer, I'm your loyal friend, I'm no groupie, I've been faithful to you and to your church over many years. But what I would say is there's no grounds for complacency. My goodness, over 40 years of ministry, I've seen people who've been there in the church's life for decades suddenly just give it away for apparently a very small reason. And I think what's often been happening is that a series of small things have been eating away at the foundations of their faith until one particular flashpoint becomes the presenting symptom of why they decide to stop then. Well, you know, the reason I believe at the age of 65 is not the reason I believe at the age of 13, when I really did ardently give my heart to Christ at my confirmation. When I pray to God now, I call him Abba, the nickname that Jesus gave his loving Heavenly Father. I talked to God in a very different way when I was a young man. I was very focused on my relationship with God as a father. My relationship with God has not stood still. It would have been hard for me to go on if it had. We are still friends because we've taken the trouble to stay in touch. And you know, when I reckon about the true treasure of my life, it's not a matter of money I've got in the bank. It's how many loyal, true friends I've got. That's what matters. And, you know, they wouldn't be there for me as loyal friends unless I nurtured that relationship. And so the questions I'm often asking as I think about the key people in my life is, have I been in touch with them lately with a phone call? Have there been an email exchange between us? Have I taken the trouble to have lunch with them or a coffee with them? Because if I'm expecting to call on their loyal support in the future, I'd better have taken the trouble to make sure that relationship is in a very viable and working effective way. I can't just expect them to be there for me unless I've made sure this is a living relational reality. God, of course, will always do his best to reach out to us, no matter how impoverished we've let our relationship become. We are the ones who are vulnerable to turning away or tuning out because we've ceased to care. What is at stake is how much reality there is in our friendship. The trouble with groupies is that they're attracted to the idea of who that person might be, or that person as a fulfillment of their wish fantasy. We now, in order to stay tuned into Jesus, need to become deeply involved in a story so that we're caught up in a real relationship. We're prepared to munch on him in the Eucharist, to dig deep into his word and to be nourished by it, to make sure that our prayer times are about that time of contact with him as a living reality, so that we love the person who he really is and remain his persistent, faithful, close friends. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.